You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Dow futures are green with Dow S&P at record highs, as you heard the gang say. Another hectic week's headed our way with 14 Fed speakers, 16 S&P earnings, everyone talking pipelines, Musk on SNL, and Pisani back at the NYSE today. Our roadmap begins with Facebook and Alphabet, though, downgraded over at Citi, and NASDAQ futures do point to a lower open.
Plus, state of emergency, a massive cyber attack taking a key fuel pipeline offline, which supplies nearly half of the eastern U.S. And as we continue to focus on crypto, Ethereum is jumping past 4,000, Bitcoin hitting a three-week high, but Dogecoin continues its tumble following Elon Musk's SNL appearance. A hustle, Carl. It's a hustle.
Ridiculous.
We're going to get to that, guys. We'll start, though, with this Citi downgrade, guys, of Facebook and Alphabet. They go to neutral. At this point, they say, given some of the tough comps that large cap internet names are going to face, they say we're not recommending any in that space, Jim, except for Roku. And we should probably point out that it's not the only downgrade today. Barclays is cutting Oracle. Atlantic cuts Intel. What's going on?
It's kind of like a cyber attack on the NASDAQ. It really is amazing. Now, when I read through the Citi downgrade, it's thin gruel, frankly. Talking about how the ad revenue basically plateauing, that is just not true. It's just not. I mean, that is a vision of what might happen, but I think what's really happened is that there's a revulsion against FANG again, and David Kostin did the same thing. Just talking about how these stocks just represent too much of the S&P. Kind of interesting to see, again, Intel. The Atlantic piece is very good. It says AMD's killing them, but Intel continues to persist in saying that they're doing well. The Oracle, the stock is up so much bigger versus the earnings. So, I mean, David, we're seeing everybody cut their price targets on the Twilios, the DraftKings, anything that's high multiple. People are calling for basic multiple compression when it comes to the NASDAQ, but not when it comes to the oils, not when it comes to the coppers, not when it comes to lumber or to the big conglomerates.
No, or to the financials.
The financials
as well, which have performed well, and we are seeing this divergence in the market, and that's reflected today, at least a half hour from now. We'll get started with trading, Jim, but it does appear the NASDAQ will be down.
Down.
Where the broader market, embraced by the S&P, is going to be up. That has been the case lately. That has been the case this year. You and I have sat here a number of times recently at the beginning of the show, talked about value versus growth. We're
right.
Seeing it again.
But Nucor, which I think is a great company, is getting less valuable as it goes up. And, I mean, just in terms of the multiple.
Right, right.
And then Freeport is being driven. But people don't understand. There's these ETFs. They've carved up every ETF. So the ETF gets bought, and then the stocks follow. And, Carl, mm-hmm. One of the things that is just kind of insane.
Look at Freeport. I mean, we had Richard Ackerson on last week. Of course, he is one happy fella.
Well, good.
He's happy fella.
He was like offering stock of it. I like that. Fiora LaGuardia. One of the things, Carl, is that there's retails now in these stocks, and they're just frantically chasing them. Now, some of these companies are putting through price increases by the week. I mean, I know the steels can do that. Copper, yeah. Obviously, lumber is manipulated at this point, and you just don't have enough sawmills. But there is, throughout this period, a desire to get away from the NASDAQ. And I think that that's really the most salient thing that I see right now, Carl.
Yeah. Well, to your point, Jim, about the difference between people's longstanding beliefs about the trend versus what's happening to the price shorter term, it's something that Kathy Wood brought up on her appearance on Closing Bell Friday. And it kind of ties in with the general sentiment you're pushing. Take a listen to what Kathy said Friday.
I love this setup. The last time I was on, I think I said that this rotation was good news because it meant the bull market was broadening out. It was strengthening. And the worst thing that could have happened to us is to have the market narrowly focus on just our ilk of stock, the innovation space. Instead, it has broadened out so that year to date, I think it's energy's up 40%, financials are up 27%. Our point of view, 5-year time horizon, nothing has changed except the price.
So, Jim, does that speak to you?
Nothing has changed except the price. When I listened to that interview, which was quite good, I thought about a head coach for a Southern NFL team who, at halftime, was down 21-0. And he started his speech to his team saying, "We've got them just where we want them." And I remember saying, "Why did you say that?" He says, "I don't know. It's like the most stupid thing you could say." Well, when you're down 30% and others are up, I guess you got them just where you want them, David.
Well, it does give you an opportunity to buy even more.
Yeah, oh,
if
yeah.
If you believe,
a lot.
As she believes.
She probably buys the trade desk today. That's down
completely substantially. Believes. Yeah, we haven't taken a leap. Well, we're still talking about Kathy. I don't actually have her trade sheet today. Usually I have it from seeing what she bought from Friday. No, I know. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, look, I mean.
It doesn't mean, listen, over time, she has had the best performance.
5-year.
And if she
continues. Well, that was then and this is now.
Okay, yes, true. Good.
They're killing these stocks. Yes. They're taking all the air out of these stocks, and including her relatively unknown stocks. Now, they can come back. Carl, the 5-year, that's terrific. And I hope that the people who are in there, Carl, have a 5-year perspective, because I think they will do quite well. But right now, there are people who expected a 5-day return, which is what she gave you. And that's struggling, including the man who was on Saturday Night Live, whose stock, as much as I love him, and he did say that he's like what did he call himself? What do you expect? Some kinder, gentler, chill guy. But I mean, you know, Tesla's not been a great stock. These things all worked for a period of time. And now, Carl, they're not working. You got to be a Nucor. And these people don't new from core.
Yeah, except that if history's any guide, Jim, it's over time, that won't be the right trade. I mean,
well, maybe they're the next Google and Facebook.
Nucor?
No, not Nucor. No, I'm talking about Woodstock. That's what I call them, by the way.
Who?
Woodstock.
Who do you call Woodstock?
Kathy Woodstock.
Oh.
Woodstock.
I see. All those stocks. Well, that's, yeah
Woodstock.
That is,
I mean, why not? That was like an unbelievable concert.
It was.
Yeah,
it
well, that's Woodstock.
It was in Bethel, New York, not Woodstock, but yeah.
No, sure. Wait. Max Juergens. No, will you stay focused.
Sorry, I am focused.
It's
I'm focused
Woodstock.
On Woodstock.
I just think I'm not making, look, she's obviously got a beat on things. But when she said, Carl, and another thing I don't approve of, is she used a lot of the stocks I regard as incredibly volatile in the NASDAQ. She uses as what she called, but basically what, cash equivalents? I mean, I don't know. David, I could easily say that right now Facebook is cash equivalent. And I think you would say to me, Jim, you've lost your mind.
Jim?
Go ahead.
Not yet. You haven't. I'll let you know when it happens, Carl. I'll let everybody know when we're really fully
there. Is Ring Central cash equivalent? I have them on tonight. I'll ask them if they're cash equivalent. They're down 37% for the year. That could be cash.
All right, but what are they up over the last 5 years? Sorry,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. The five-year, though, down 32. But David, that was a different market. This is a market that is about an economic recovery like we haven't seen, other than Friday's labor number.
Which we think may be an aberration.
Jim, it's exactly ties into what we're talking about, continued squeezes in various types of commodities over the weekend. As you now know, it's been fuel. The largest U.S. fuel pipeline remains mostly shut after that ransomware cyber attack gets half of the supplies, basically half of the East Coast. And we'll be talking about the impact on fuel in the coming blocks. But in the meantime, the Commerce Secretary talked about all hands being on deck on the Sunday shows. Take a listen.
It's an all hands on deck effort right now, and we are working closely with the company, state and local officials to, you know, make sure that they get back up to normal operations as quickly as possible and there aren't disruptions in supply.
All right, Jim. So how close of an eye are you keeping on prices today? And I guess what does it say about concerns about future attacks, whether it's in energy or X-energy in the future?
Well, we've always heard that utilities were vulnerable. And this is a utility to some degree, and people are just saying that, but you've never seen it. Well, this is big. I mean, maybe this was a ransomware attack. We don't know. There's a lot of what do we know and what do we don't know going on here. Maybe it was a ransomware attack, and they finally wouldn't pay, and we see a lot of companies pay the ransomware. David, I mean, they pay the ransomware.
They say it was a ransomware
attack. Yeah, but I'm saying that this finally was one that would hit their earnings.
Right.
they weren't going to pay.
I see. That the number that was being asked was so high that it would have been material.
Right, because I keep hearing about companies paying ransomware.
Well, typically, those who are holding these whatever assets hostage ask for a number that is kind of just right, right?
Right.
Not high enough to really crush you,
exactly.
But high enough that they'll make a lot of money.
Exactly
to pay.
Right. Yeah. Now, Charlie Munger talked about the idea that these cryptocurrencies basically are evil. Well, it's what you pay your ransomware in. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't paid, but this is what I know.
Understood.
That's what I know.
The larger question continues to be, I think, Jim and Carl, what, you know, if a Eastern European criminal gang has the capability to do this, what do our true adversaries in China and Russia actually have the ability to do?
Well, they have 1,000 people in a room of 1,000 people, according to someone I'm involved with.
In Russia. You're talking about SolarWinds.
Not to mention 1,000 people.
Not to mention the incredibly well-organized Chinese cyber espionage effort that's been going on for a decade, more than a decade.
And the people I'm involved with keep saying the same thing. When will the United States play hardball?
And that continues to be a key question.
Right.
When will we hit back in some way? But my point is, if you can take control of a pipeline to this extent and you're just a criminal gang in Eastern Europe, as is potentially alleged here, our true adversaries would have the ability, one would expect, to do whatever they want.
Right, and that's why you have to buy
Conoco. With our electric grid, with
our pipelines. That's why you have to buy Conoco, okay?
Why?
Because they're going to be able to jack the prices up, and they're probably not even involved that much with Colonial.
Yeah.
David, it's like the winter storm in Tyson. They mentioned that the winter storm was bad for them, but they're raising prices. Tyson.
But, Carl, the underlying commodity is not getting hit, moving that much at this point.
Not yet. There seemed
to be enough.
Well, because
there's enough on hand, right? There's enough available in terms of gasoline, so.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. Just want to check with you before.
But it's another commodity that people are going to say, well, Jay Powell, this or that. Like raising rates is going to suddenly open the Colonial Pipeline.
Right. No, that's been the argument for a bunch of things. How does raising rates open more sawmills in the short term, Jim? It's not really related. We do want to mention COVID cases continue to improve. Last night, 22,000 new cases. That's down 7,000 from a week ago. And the NYSE is opening even more broadly, as we now know, starting today for the first time in more than a year. We're going to be able to say, let's get to Bob Pisani at the NYSE. Morning, Bob.
Wow. Good morning, guys. It's been a long time. It's been too long, but it's time to start coming back. And by the way, that is the NYSE's message today. The NYSE closed in March of last year, but it reopened in May. Most of the NYSE staff, as well as a good part of the trading floor, have continued to work from home. But now, like much of the country, the NYSE is just starting to call people back to work. Starting today, the NYSE is adjusting its COVID protocols and will allow more people onto its trading floor. Members of the floor community who have been fully vaccinated will be exempt from certain restrictions, including a random testing program. They'll also be allowed to remove face masks, so they must continue to maintain social distancing. That, of course, is 6 feet or more. If 100% of a trading firm's floor-based staff have been fully vaccinated, the firm will be permitted to bring them back fully staffed. Media organization, including us, will also be permitted on the trading floor. Everyone will still be required to wear a mask when walking around the floor. Now, I am in my own booth here on the floor, and so don't have to wear a mask because we have our own little situation here in our own booth. And by the way, it's not just the NYSE itself. There's an entire community of designated market makers here, as well as brokerage firms, both large and small, here on the trading floor. Many have been switching shifts. They've been alternating between working at home and working on the floor. And you'll see more of them as well. Now, we'll be talking to the NYSE's president, Stacey Cunningham, at 9:40. She'll give us a good idea of why she's reopening right now, what other CEOs are telling her as well. Of course, we'll get some comments on the markets from her as well. And of course, Carl, David, Jim, looking forward to having you back here sometime soon as well.
We can't wait. Guys, what do you think? What does it mean for us?
Well, I mean, the floor is energy, but more important, I get to be with it. I want to be with you, Carl. We were with Carl last week at Port San Miguel for Cinco de Mayo. My wife was saying, "Jesus, do you ever get to see Carl?" I said, "Well, I see him virtually, but it was just so great to see you."
It will happen as things continue to move in a very positive, positive way.
When do we get rid of masks here?
You mean here, as in what?
In this company.
I mean, indoors?
Yeah.
I don't know. Scott Gottlieb this morning was saying.
Well, that's why I said it.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Gottlieb was making some good points.
He has been throughout this sort of the voice of reason.
I would never mention where we are if it weren't for I listened to Gottlieb on our network. And to me, it said, like, take them all.
Positivity rates are very low, thankfully, now.
He did. That's what I interpret.
Yeah.
That it's done. We're done. Who knows?
We're getting there.
Maybe I better be safe than sorry. Yeah. But who knows?
Yeah, no, it's true. But Gottlieb's been, he's been saying, look, we got to open just as aggressively as we closed. Bob, we can't wait to see you, obviously. We'll talk to you in a bit. In the meantime, futures are a little bit mixed. NASDAQ week, as we said, on that Citi call. We're back in a minute.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
What is it, man?
I keep telling you, it's a cryptocurrency you can trade for conventional money.
Oh, so it's a hustle.
Yeah, it's a hustle.
Why didn't you say that, man? Toast ball to everybody. It's a hustle.
To the moon!
That was the moment. Michael Che and Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live over the weekend talking about Doge. Of course, Doge loses a third of its value shortly after that moment. Has been working on trying to get some back here, Jim. And then, of course, we got the SpaceX announcement about this Doge-funded lunar mission. Where do you think we are in popular sentiment around the coin?
I think that at this point, the people who do Dogecoin just are very self-interested in voting Dogecoin. If you have Dogecoin, you have a lot of Dogecoin, maybe you want to say, hey, listen, I'll take Dogecoin. I know that Robinhood did crash crypto for 1.5 hours at that moment, but that Robinhood was also the top app in the App Store all last week. So, David, what keeps happening, as I see it, is more new people come in, and a lot of people come in on these, and now it is Ethereum. The momentum in Ethereum is extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, Ethereum is used for any number of things.
Well, sometimes you have, you know, many things
growing.
You have to translate
NFTs,
Ethereum.
Right?
Yeah,
the market is relying on Ethereum.
Last week, you have to go to the Square conference call. It's really brilliant.
You told me this. And you've been keeping track of this. Real quickly, Jim, to come back to the Robinhood cohort, which, of course, we spent now 9-10 months. It was probably a year ago when we started to become aware of sort of this new group of investors who, you know, perhaps because sport betting was not happening, any number of other reasons. Where are they right now, in your opinion, in terms of when we started the show talking about growth stocks getting hit?
These were many
of the names that were favored by, including, of course, Tesla itself, by this crowd.
That's what?
Crowd.
Oh, okay. Look, I think that these are down 25-40%. I don't think that the Robinhood cohort has yet discovered the wonders of, let's say, Cleveland Cliffs. They just don't know their way around Southern Copper, and they're not really attracted to Weyerhaeuser. And so, I mean, you know, what's happening, David, is that I think they're losing money. I think they're doubling down. I think these companies are real. They're not like they have no EBITDA, but the market has no appetite for them. And Robinhood, as powerful as it may be as a cohort, you can stand there and you can buy all the ServiceNow or Netflix or Netflix, all the service, all of the Snowflake that you want. I have RingCentral on tonight. I have Alteryx on. These companies all blew out numbers, and people hate them. Institutions hate them. Robinhood people, I think, are still buying because they haven't heard of the stocks that are. They're not buying 3M, which recovered very nice from the miss, and they're not buying Raytheon Technologies. That's where the action is. They're buying a lot of AMC and GameStop still.
Still,
yes. Yeah. Well, they love the movies, and they
love the they love Godot. Godot?
Godot.
Are they
waiting for Godot?
Ryan Cohen.
Oh, him. Got it.
I call him Godot. Just like this. You like Woodstock?
Yes.
Godot.
I love all these references. It's great. Yeah. Carl?
I love it when we layer them one on top of the other, guys. That's a good discussion about where the market is right now. Speaking of which, we'll get that opening bell in 9 minutes on this Monday. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
NASDAQ futures are the outlier here this morning as we talked about that downgrade of Facebook and Google out of Citi today. Got some upgrades, though, for other names like PNC over at Ray J. Jefferies upgrades Live Nation as we pay attention to the economic reopening and the consequent inflation when we get the opening bell in a few minutes.
A little less than 3 minutes before we get started with trading for the week. Let's squeeze in a mad dash. Walmart.
Walmart Plus was viewed to be not doing as well as Amazon for a couple of months. And that crushed Walmart stock. Just crushed it. Morgan Stanley this morning comes out and says Walmart Plus update, survey takeaways, grocery store, it actually says that there's been an uptick in membership. Now, this stock lost basically 10 points when things were down. And when I called them, the company was unwilling or unable to confirm the slowdown. But here we have a step up in Walmart Plus membership and basically, that should reverse what ailed the stock.
If they're right.
Right. And you can't get anything confirmed because Walmart's not going to tell you.
No, Walmart doesn't share that much.
No, these are surveys, David. But the survey is better than it's been, which is important.
So the survey from this brokerage firm indicates
from Morgan Stanley
the worries about the ranks of their subscribers are unfounded.
Yeah, well, we were all worried because Mark Lurie, the Jet.com guy,
had left.
He retired.
Yes.
And a lot of people felt that he was the brains behind the operation. I happen to think, I've had him on a couple times, I actually agree with that. But it's possible that he just has a legacy and there was a deeper bench. I think this Walmart piece is a smart piece, but some were the last pieces that said that it was a slowdown, because apparently there was a slowdown.
Well, I mean, but again, you know, back to the idea of looking at things over 5 years, which is probably a good way to look at them. Take a look at 5 years of Walmart. I mean, Doug McMillon and the strategy changed to a certain extent, or at least the pivot to e-commerce, and the investment they made has paid off if you're a long-term investor here.
Yes, and I remember when he cut his when he raised his wages,
there it
which
is,
then
Jim.
Cut the
that's,
earnings.
That's 5 years. I mean,
five
that's
years.
What you want to see.
But take
right?
a look at Costco. Look at Costco. They've done over a five-year period. It's even better than Walmart, and Costco doesn't even really have e-commerce. They just started, and they're well, of course, there'll be a juggernaut now that they've started. But retail's been a great place to be, whether in Burlington, you know, Burlington stores, which you and I have to shop at once. David, the lines are so long there at Burlington. It's incredible. The lag trade that Matthew Boss talks about, which is L Brands, American Eagle, Gap stores come back.
I know.
So the mall's been
retailers.
The mall's been like the best. I mean, mall stores have been the best place to be. And Matthew Boss today comes out and says, listen, insatiable demand. How is this possible?
I'm not quite sure. We decided the mall was dead. The B malls, the A malls,
A
are
malls are still hanging in
hanging
here,
in.
David.
Yeah,
David, you ever been to a mall?
Not
pretty,
a long,
it's pretty fascinating.
Long time.
They have like Bulgari and stuff now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know, $42,000 necklace in the window.
Nice.
You have to make sure that your wife doesn't go by that part of the mall.
That's not going to happen. That was a sexist comment, by the way.
Okay, your spouse. I'm sorry. I was thinking actually.
And you know, I don't want that $42,000.
No, I don't want to get in trouble with this. I was actually, I know you outside of work, okay? I actually don't have this. Well, you know, I mean, we can all pretend that we don't know each other.
I wouldn't buy a $42 necklace, let alone $42,000. But anyway.
Right. AMC
Jim,
update.
We'll take him to Eddie Bauer, now owned by Simon Property, which we can talk about in a little bit. There's the opening
Brands.
Bell, though. NYSE and NASDAQ as well. S&P 500 at the bottom of your screen. Jim, we're still kicking around answers to that conundrum that the jobs number handed us on Friday. A lot of discussion from Yellen, of course, talk over the weekend about whether or not that unemployment supplemental is truly a disincentive to work. Evans was on with Leisman in the last half hour of Squawk Box and talked about other potential reasons, child care, better job matching, and the idea that one print is not enough to draw broad conclusions. Here's what Evans said.
We're looking for outcomes, and so when we've said that we're going to continue to buy assets until we see substantial further improvement towards our mandates, and the chair says one employment number is not enough, and then we get a weak number, I think we're going to have to see more strong employment numbers, and we're going to have to see inflation, and it'll be delicate. We'll see transitory inflation. It's going to look like it is above 2%. Is it going to be relative prices, or is it something more sustainable? So I think it's going to take quite some time for us to actually see it in the data, assess it.
We're going to get more numbers this week, Jim. CPI Wednesday, retail sales Friday, and a large part of the market's bracing for numbers that will look hot.
Yeah, they should. I mean, the retail sales in particular, highlighted on May Have Money on Friday, I think going to be very, very big. Okay, so let's just go through the math here. I have to pay $22 per hour in order to be able to beat the unemployment benefits. I can't. At $18 an hour I'm paying, which is the highest that I've seen in the area that I'm in, I am still at a $4 disadvantage to unemployment benefits. Now, I know there are many people come on our network. Carl, many people come on our network and they say, listen, the dignity of work. And I know, I mean, that's what Freud talked about, the dignity of work. But I can't, the dignity of $22, I can't. You know, and especially when I have so many people doing delivery, of which I lose money on every delivery order where they take more than 15%, I lose money on. But I can't pay 22, Carl. That's crazy. I mean, I was paying 15 before the pandemic.
22. Yeah, it's funny. Nat Alliance has a memo out today citing a Bank of America study that said, basically, if you're making less than 32K, it pays to sit at home. At 15, that's about 30. So the range you're talking about, Jim, 15 is really a fulcrum point, I guess, if you're a believer that that's the actual factor. I mean, Evans did suggest the number of schools that are closed does create complications for parents who want to go back to work but have no place to have their kid go.
Well, look, there's a lot of people, yeah, they have no place to, you know, San Francisco, no in.
No, but I mean, Jim, there's also this idea that some people who've been in the industry you're talking about,
right,
restaurant, hospitality, are reassessing their career choices as well.
True, but there are 150,000 restaurants have closed, so you would think that ones that are open would be able to get. We had seven people who called and said they're going to come by. They applied for a job. Only one showed. What is that? They can claim they tried to get a job and they're okay? I can't have six people not show. I mean, I don't understand why anyone thinks we can compete. I have two restaurants. One of them's doing very well, but I can't pay this.
But is that are these waiters? I mean, are you including tips in that, or is that
it's just the basic. You got to pay. You have to pay. Paying for my kitchen costs. I'm paying what you would pay for, you know, true.
And so are you raising prices for your customers?
Yes. I just did the pricing menu, and I I took things up $2.
Percentage-wise, give me a sense. 5%?
Okay, 10%? So how about a $6 beer to $8?
Six to eight.
Yeah.
For a beer.
Wow.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, Jim,
yeah.
We definitely heard from Tyson today. We're seeing substantial inflation across the supply chain. Will likely create margin pressure during the back half of the year. I don't know if you saw this flash on Chipotle, raising average wage to 15. And I guess, although I only saw the flash head, including a path to a six-figure salary within 3 years. I guess that will be part of the selling point if you were to come in and inquire.
Well, I knew they were going to have to do that. I mean, remember, they make more money per unit than almost every other publicly traded stock in that business. So they can afford to do it. I know that the stock's been under pressure, though, because of it. It's not really, if you go over how they've done, they have a very good leverage situation on food. That food's not hurting them. Labor will hurt them now. But as bad as that is, you got to take a look at stocks like Trade Desk, TTD, which reported a quarter that on the surface was quite good. There was one line that, you know, they had revenue up 37%. It was $220 million, but there was a consensus of $217 million. I mean, so maybe that wasn't enough. But TTD is the NAS. Okay, that's the NASDAQ. David, when I see Trade Desk, that stock would have been up big on a similar number, and Jeff Green is a great CEO, up big, I believe, on a similar number. And this is another one of those stocks where I, you know, they're down 30%. I have them where I want them.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I guess this is, again, a Woodstock.
It's giving you a buying opportunity.
It's Woodstock.
Is what,
yes.
Is what Kathy Wood
would say.
Because,
David, you got that five-year perspective.
All right. Well, give me the five-year perspective then on Apple, which is down 3% for the year and about 1.2% today.
I think Apple's reinventing itself. It's got 5G. It's a buy.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that Costin did, and I know, Carl, you follow Costin, he talked about how these companies over-index on how much money they spend on R&D, operating cash flow. He basically made a case for them, even as he was basically saying that they're over-owned. You know, it's like, hey, I mean, on the one, I mean, I love Costin, so he is a delight to read. But there is a notion that these stocks are too owned, but also makes sense to be owned. But, David, you look quizzical.
No, I'm not looking quizzical. I mean, Facebook has had a very good year so far. Alphabet, obviously, even more so. An amazing
well, maybe
run.
They're
both
doing
are down
well.
On that downgrade from Citi.
But they're not expensive.
They're doing extraordinarily
they're not
well.
Expensive.
They're not
over,
no,
these
they're not overly
These ones I'm talking
expensive.
About are EV over EBITDA.
Right.
David, these are all the Times sales stocks
yes.
are getting clobbered. The Times yes. earnings stocks are holding up.
Okay. So the snowflakes.
And
not
even
doing
though
so
I
well.
Think that Snowflake's going to have a bang-up quarter, it's not the kind of quarter that you're going to get from Alcoa. Do you think that people, Robinhood people, know Alcoa? Do they even use tinfoil? Do they call it tinfoil?
Sure they do.
What do they call it?
It doesn't really grab the imagination, I guess, in the same
way. The imagination doesn't play a role.
That Dogecoin can. I mean, that's, you know, you can let your imagination run wild there.
But
it's harder with Alcoa.
I was with someone this weekend as a SPAC.
You were. Well, yeah. Everybody's got
and
SPAC.
And I said to him,
that's
I said,
not a big,
I
big
said
deal.
You're the only one at this table as a SPAC. This is insane.
Right, right.
One guy had a SPAC.
That's not.
We had seven people.
Who
were
you hanging out with? What kind of crap?
Poor people.
Only one guy
only
has
one
a SPAC.
Only one guy. I said, who else has a SPAC? Carl, no one else had a SPAC. I was completely let down by this group.
We gotta. Oh, man.
Yeah. If you'd been with them maybe 8 weeks earlier, it might have been a different picture, Jim,
yeah.
but they missed it by that much. To your broader point about what is working this morning, it is Chevron, 3M, NASDAQ's down by a full percent. Jim, we haven't quite touched on Marriott, but the quarter occupancy in U.S. Canada back to the 40s. We started the year in the low 30s. They didn't even talk about green shoots in corporate, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, although they gave the allusion to China's almost back to pre-pandemic levels. I know the stock has to get hit a bit, but I also know that the reopening trade is alive and well. We see constant, you know, like Live Nation today. You know, people recommending Live Nation. I mean, anything type trip, TRIP. I mean, oh, good. He'll be on, Tony Capuano, 10:30. I think it's worth asking him about the business travel because we certainly have not seen any pickup in it at all. David, you've been correct in chronicling that business travel just doesn't exist yet.
Not yet. And the question is how much of it will exist percentage-wise based on 2019 levels, sort of the normalized levels. And I think that could take years. And, but listen, many of the airline executives we talked to as well believe that. Gary Kelly says, I just don't know. I mean, you asked the question. A lot of people don't know. The Expedia CEO last week also saying it will come back. But, you know, the question remains, how quickly will it come back?
Well, one of the things that's difficult,
how much of it will come back.
If you want to go visit an office in order to be able to see key decision makers.
Yeah.
They may be in Hawaii.
Yeah, they may not be in a centralized location.
Right.
They may not still want to let you in the building. It depends on the company
right.
at this point, or you may have to go through lots of protocols still because we perhaps have not yet sort of changed to reflect the current environment and the risks inherent in terms of getting COVID at this point, which thankfully are very low.
Right.
But people are going to business people are getting back on planes. They're starting to go see some clients. But again, the internal kind of thing where you go and visit your unit here or there, that may not happen. In fact, they may not even be in the office either. So
it
could be many years before we get back to anything approximating where we were in 2019.
Yes, but the NASDAQ stocks that...
For business travel.
NASDAQ stocks that were involved with business, that made it so business was doing holding up during the pandemic because you know, people basically are hybrid.
Yes.
Well, look, RingCentral is an ultimate hybrid. They actually say to you, look, we can do it anywhere. Well, they can do it anywhere. It's down 33%.
Right.
Now, by the way, is that a Woodstock?
Right. I don't know. I mean, Zoom Video's high was $588. It's still up a lot over the last 12 months, but it's $289 today.
So the last 12 months is still up?
It's still up. Oh, yeah. It's up 86% over the last 12 months. But
It's just...
It's down 300 points from its high.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, that people just... This stock was at 450 in February. It's a 289 zoom. That's a Robin Hood.
Well, you're Jim, there's so many names in that camp. DKNG, a bunch of others, 30-plus from the highs, which doesn't get talked about enough because so much else is working, and it affects, obviously, the overall indices. We got a record high on the Dow, as you saw, record high on transport, still about 8 points shy on the S&P. Let's get back to Bob Pisani with a very special guest this morning. Hey, Bob.
Hello, Carl. The NYSE has been open since May, but it's reopening even more today. Let's talk with Stacey Cunningham. She is the president of the New York Stock Exchange. She joins me here at Post 9. It's been a long time.
It has been, Bob. It's great to see you. Welcome back. We couldn't be more excited to have you back in the building.
I am happy to as well. Why now? What's changing today? What made you say May 10th, we're starting to call people back more?
We are doing the same thing that we've been doing for the past year. We've been monitoring what's happening locally and putting protections in place based on the local conditions. So we have back for the, you know, since last May when we reopened with a various number of layers of protection. And now that the local conditions are what they are and they're much, much better and the prevalence rate locally is much lower, we can remove some of those layers alongside the fact that so many people are getting vaccinated. Yep. So the vaccinations are leading us to where we are today. But we're going to keep monitoring conditions as we go forward. That's not going to change.
The NYSE seems to be as emblematic of what's happening around the rest of the country. Slowly but surely, people are coming back in. What are you hearing from CEOs about the glide path to going back to work?
So if you asked me this question a year ago, what I heard consistently across the entire CEO base was everyone was positively surprised by how productive their teams were. Now, as you talk to CEOs, that message is different across different sectors, geographies, locations. People are thinking about their own business, and some feel like, hey, we actually could do a lot of this remotely, but many others are missing that cultural impact that you have when you bring teams together, the fact that teams get more creative. So people are trying to get their teams back together. And just my own personal experience, as I've seen people come back into the building, they're excited to see each other, and they didn't realize they were going to be.
There is a camaraderie you cannot get from working at home. And yet, sure, we saw trading done at home and even the NYSE systems working remotely. Explain that experience, because from me, as a close insider watching from afar, it all seemed to work pretty darn well.
Yeah, it all did work very well. And much like those CEOs were saying last spring, we're excited by how well we can do things remotely. But that doesn't mean we don't lose something. What we saw when we closed the trading floor was that stocks traded with more volatility during that period of 9 weeks that the floor was closed. So when we reopened, we were trying to restore that full level of service to our customers. Academics actually studied it and found that we did see a fall off in market quality during the 9 weeks that the floor was closed, even though we still traded better than most markets.
Let me ask about some things on your plate. You've got a new administration here, a new head of the SEC. Gary Gensler just testified recently in the House, had a lot to say about GameStop, a lot to say about Robinhood, a lot to say about retail trading. It looks like he's preparing a report on what he thinks needs to be done regarding retail trading and protection of retail traders. Have you had any input with his office or with him directly about how to proceed on that?
Bob, we're constantly talking to the SEC about our observations in the market and what we're seeing. Chairman Gensler's been in the seat for 3 weeks, and we look forward to working with him and his team closely as they analyze this. While the companies slowed down, while the economy slowed down in many ways, markets did not slow down. I mean, we were exceptionally busy over the past year. We've seen the retail investor a much bigger part of the market than they had been traditionally. One of the things I think is important to recognize when we talk about protecting retail investors is there's two components. There's protecting them at the time they're making that decision to trade their order. And so influences on that might be online Reddit, Reddit and online message boards, or broker apps. And then the time of trade is the best execution.
Sure. Before we let you go, Colonial Pipeline, obviously an issue. Is the NYSE safe from a cyber attack? How are you set up to protect the trading operations?
We are constantly working not only with our own teams, but others in the market, with our regulators, with other exchanges, on ensuring that our markets are secure.
All right, Stacey, we very much appreciate having you. Have us back here. I'm very excited to be back.
Bob, I've got something for you, though, before we go.
All right.
I mean, I started on the trading floor in the 90s, and so throughout my entire time down here, you've been a fixture on this floor. There is no way we're going to let a global pandemic stop Bob Pisani from broadcasting from the trading floor. So you are the chairman of the floor, as we saw, as you got warm welcome when you came back. So this is just a small token of our appreciation of having you back.
Is that a gavel?
It is a gavel. You know, we like bells and gavels around the new NYC.
Oh, well, that is a great honor. Thank you very much, Stacey. And again, it's a great honor to be here at the New York Stock Exchange since 1997. And I'm just happy to be back. Thank you very much, Stacey. Stacey Cunningham, the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Quite an honor, Carl.
Oh, Bob, that is fantastic. And you are so deserving of being the first one back. We will be talking to you a lot from there. Jim, I'm having flashbacks. I don't know about you.
It's a warm place. I think it's a very warm and convivial atmosphere. And I always feel like that we're center stage. David, center stage is good.
Listen, when hopefully there is an IPO and there's a crowds,
yes,
again, that would be that energy is so exciting.
Do you think
exciting.
We'll be able to talk to people?
I don't know.
A CEO, would they let us?
Come on. We're going to have to expand the desk still.
Is it going to be like a prison environment where there's a loose thing? We put our hands up and they touch. I mean, geez.
I don't know.
Is that going to be
getting there. We're getting there. We've just got to.
If we're
push
vaccinated,
through.
I keep coming back to
push through
vaccination.
Yes,
Carl. No one's asked me if I'm vaccinated. Every place I go, they'll take my temperature, which of course is indicative of absolutely nothing. But they don't want to see my card. I've got the card.
Do you have the Excelsior thing? Did you do that?
No one cares about anything. Being vaccinated means nothing, Carl. How can that be?
Yep. I think there's a general assumption that if you're out and about, that you have been. At least that's been my experience in these early days. But we're going to definitely try this suit on, so to speak, and see how it fits and where it needs to be tailored. But we look forward to going back. Let's get to Rick Santelli this morning. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Well, indeed, it's exciting to see Bob back on the floor. Hopefully Chicago's not too far behind. But I don't know that they're going to be passing any gavels to me. I don't know if Terry Duffy's going to be giving me a gavel. You know, I might get a little crazy with that. Congratulations, Bob Pisani. Look at a 1 week of tens. What should really jump out at you? 146 spike, low yield, big high price on Friday. Weak jobs report. It was all the news was talking about all weekend, and with good reason. Whether it's, you know, American jobs plan, family plan, infrastructure plan, all the trillions of dollars we're spending in many ways after the peak worst effects of COVID is really making a dynamic that many want to pay attention to. Is all this money really warranted at this point? Are we getting our money's worth? Are some of these policies actually keeping people? We don't know. We know that all these areas are contributing to people not going back to work. A little nervous, maybe customers don't want to go, childcare, school, and yes, benefits. It's all contributing. We don't know the amount, but what we do know is the amount of more policy programs that seem to be coming down the pike. So this is going to be a very contentious issue on weak data. You talk about politicizing a jobs number. I've never seen one more politicized than this. Look at a August 1st start to 10s. What you really want to see here is since the August 4th low yield close of 2020, Friday's intraday 146, since that 174, that was the lowest intraday level. So you really want to pay attention to that. The market most likely is going to be drawn to that. We're only down a couple basis points right now. Look at a mid-March start to the Boone contract. They've been much more aggressive in their sell-off, pushing rates higher. They're hinting at a taper, but hinting at a taper and doing a taper are two different things. Finally, the difference between tens and Boones reflecting that taper psychology. Now under 180, it's the tightest it's been in 2 months, and everybody's talking about taxes, whether they're going to be, are they going to be retroactive? Oh, my God. So look at a 1 week of the Muni ETF, the MUB. Yes, up in a way. It's, of course, this is the tax-exempt sector, and it's going to stay hot, not to mention record inflows. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you. Rick Santelli. Still to come this morning, as we said earlier, Marriott CEO Tony Capuano says booking demand is improving meaningfully, and he's going to join us in the next hour to talk about earnings and travel in the wake of the pandemic. In the meantime, record high Dow, record high transports, all sectors green with the exception of really FANG-related sectors, infotech, consumer discretionary, and communication services. Don't go away. Tomorrow, don't miss CNBC's Healthy Returns Summit. We're bringing together industry leaders to explore how the most innovative companies are addressing the coronavirus crisis and its lasting effects. Join leaders from Pfizer, Eli Lilly, the CDC, and a lot more. You can register at cnbcevents.com/healthyreturns. We'll be right back. Let's get to Jim in a Monday edition of Stop Trading.
Carl, last year there was a stock called Alcoa, AA. It was at $6 this week. Now it's at 43. And this is emblematic of what's going on. This company makes aluminum. And you know, if you tell the Robinhood people that they ought to be in this instead of Roku and be in this instead of Netflix, they're going to say, "What? I don't even know what that is." But this is what's working. And with the exception of a Home Depot and Lowe's, because it's planting season, this is what's working. The materials.
There's no doubt about that, Jim. The SLX back to a multi-year high.
It's
as a number of steel components are at all-time highs.
Is it our duty tonight to have Robinhood people follow these stocks? I think we have to at least show them, right? They can go by Target and American Express if they want to. All right, here we go. Vlad Shmunis and Mark Anderson, they are part of the Great Depression of tech stocks. And they're doing fabulous.
Jim, we'll see you at 6.
Yep.
Good show. Mad Money tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.